With some films that you happen upon after a while, you might say, who directed this again? Not with Ken Russell films. In a Russell film, you might see Ringo Starr playing the Pope in cowboy boots, as in Listomania.
I know it sounds improbable, Your Holiness, but I...
But truth is stranger than fiction. We've kept going for 2,000 years on that one.
Or two male characters in a nude wrestling contest, as in Women in Love. Or Vanessa Redgrave as a humpbacked Mother Superior, writhing at the feet of a twisted 17th century priest. Only one of the arresting images in the film The Devils. Russell's lush, flamboyant, wacky, sometimes shocking films are completely defined by the man who made them. Russell began making films at the BBC in the early 60s. From the start, he wanted to make music films. He had a large and beloved collection of classical LPs, which he listened to obsessively in his younger years.
I had a fire which destroyed most of them. I had hundreds, and they all burned up.
But by that time, he'd gotten to know all the music anyway. Russell built bizarre, fascinating motion picture shrines to the composers he loved. At the BBC, he profiled Sir Edward Elgar, composer of The Enigma Variations and Pomp and Circumstance. The director used long music passages and conventional documentary narration.
The influence on Elgar's music was immediate.
But he also used reenactments, one of the first, if not the first, to hire actors and use period detail to create utterly convincing scenes from composers' lives. They were about as far away as you could get from the kind of earnest Hollywood make-believe of Cornell Wilde as Chopin, pretending to stumble as he wrote the Revolutionary Etude or whatever. Russell's scenes were impressionistic and evocative and used music with great precision. Consequently, everyone naturally thought he was a musician.
No, I can't read a note of music. I'm afraid I'm just, a fan.
Also at the BBC, his film Song of Summer went beyond documentary to flat-out biopic, and it is one that many, and I include myself, think is the best film ever made about a composer's life and work.
Yes, and play it like that.
Max Adrian is Frederick Delius in his declining years, with Christopher Gable as a young musician, and there's almost never been a relationship like this on film, the young man struggling to help the ill older man realize his musical ambitions.
Put a G there. Where does the G go? Divide your cellos. G in the first half. Yes, no A in the second.
And there are dazzling scenes played to music, including one in which the handicapped Delius is being laboriously carried up a mountain in a chair so he can see past the clouds and fog to the sunset.
Yes, that's a famous scene. I shot it in the Lake District, and it was a scene I won't forget. It was difficult to do. One had to sort of climb the mountains to, sort of get into the mood and express it. So that's what I did.
By 1969, Russell was already making his celebrated D.H. Lawrence adaptation, Women in Love, with that infamous nude wrestling scene. Oliver Reed and Alan Bates, locked in combat without a stitch of clothing on, a fire raging in the hearth in the background. And a new precedent in films, male frontal nudity.
But we ought to swear to love each other, you and I. Implicitly. Perfectly.
It was quite a long scene that created a sensation. They were two very big movie stars at the time, with a bit of resistance to working naked.
Well, they weren't keen on it, no. They pretended to be ill. Oliver pretended to have pneumonia and Alan Bates pretended to have something else. A bit of friendly persuasion and they were okay.
Women in Love wasn't really a music film, but Oscar-nominated Russell still put a sequence about Tchaikovsky into the film. With Glenda Jackson and company in a kind of romp of role-playing.
And today I will be Peter Ilyich Tchaikovsky.
Hooray!
Turns out Tchaikovsky, Ken Russell now says, was and is his favorite composer.
Yes, I It started off with Tchaikovsky, and I took it from there, as it were. I guess it's how I discovered music.
It was that celebrated Tchaikovsky piano concerto, still his favorite piece, that got him going. He made The Music Lovers, a Tchaikovsky biopic, in 1970. It was his response, he said at the time, to the self-consciously reverential treatment of classical composers.
He says he might love me.
Reverential, it was not. By then, Time magazine said Russell was running amok through the lives of the great composers like a hyperactive adolescent. That was probably inspired by Russell's film Listomania, truly the most outrageous composer biopic ever made, with Liszt played by Roger Daltrey of the rock band The Who. It was only fitting for the life of Liszt, says Ken Russell.
I reckon he was, in a sense, he was the first rock star.
And there isn't even time to do anything but mention the Russell films on Gustav Mahler, Richard Strauss, and Claude Debussy, each one more unbelievably excessive than the last. There was a moment when those Ken Russell music films managed to turn the heads of all free-thinking music lovers. Russell, I guess, has said it all by this time. These days, he is the master of understatement of all things. Here's how he summed it up in our conversation.
I'm very fond of music, and any chance I get to use it, I make a beeline for it.
I never thought I'd hear such a modest statement from the man who insinuated himself into music history via the movies, as no one has before or since. For WNYC, I'm Sarah Fishkill.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.